Good morning.
Good morning.
It is indeed an honor and a privilege to be before you this morning. I have often heard the question asked, will you stand and fight with our soldiers should the time come that we have to fight for our nation? In essence, where will you stand when that day comes? For myself and most of the Americans I know, we would fight for this country to the death. But in consideration of recent events, it seems that more and more people have turned their backs on the good old U.S. of A. And I'm not talking about foreign terrorists either. It's sad, but sometimes when we think of the enemies of America, we think of those foreign powers. We never seem to think that, or even want to admit that, the destruction could come very well from within. This shouldn't surprise us, as we have seen the same trend towards God and toward His commandments since the beginning of time. God's people often thinking that the breakdown of God's people will come from outside attacks, when in reality is often the uprising of disbelief from within the church that causes the most destruction. Where will you be when the judgment comes? I'm not talking about logistically, I'm talking about spiritually. Where will you be when judgment comes? Where will you stand on the day of judgment? Many people will stand in that day confident that they have prepared themselves. They will stand confident that they are living for Christ, they are living for God, when in reality God is displeased with them for their so-called faith, for their pseudo-faith, if you will. Jesus spoke of this in Matthew chapter 7. If you look at Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 21 and going through verse 23, Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 through 23, and here Jesus says in this passage, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Can you imagine spending your whole life believing that you were living for God, and then standing before the judgment and God saying, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Depart from me." This passage has been quoted and read and analyzed to the point that most people who hear it let it go in one ear and out the other with the mindset, surely Jesus is not talking about me in that verse. Surely He's not talking about me. He must be talking about those other heathens or those other sinful people. Even to the point that I myself, as I read this passage, in the back of my mind, I'm thinking of who He must be talking about, and my face didn't come up. We often look at the passages of Scripture and we think He's got to be talking about somebody else. It can't be talking about me. I have to be exempt from this. We studied that in our Bible class this morning, how the Jews felt like they were exempt from the severity of God because of their religious affiliation with Abraham. Most religious people of today are not planning on using the defense of prophesying for Christ or casting out devils in His name. However, the principle in this passage stands in stark correlation to the attitudes of many of the people of today's religious world. We hear a couple of sermons, a couple of feel-good sermons. We're treated to a spiritual locker room pep talk, so to speak, by some great encouragers. We hear some good feel-good sermon, and next thing you know, we're walking on cloud nine with a faith that can move mountains. However, if we're not living according to the will of God, all of the zeal and all of the good deeds will be for naught. It is unfortunate that so many people have Bibles and they read them on a regular basis. However, they have worn out the pages of the key verses that they believe promote their false doctrine. And they don't want to look anywhere else. They just keep going to those pages over and over and over again. Those false doctrines are condemning them to hell and they don't even know it. Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46. It's a little bit of a long read. We've read this before. We've been through this before. We've looked at this verse before. But if you look at this passage, Jesus says, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory. That should get our attention right there. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, come ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the beginning, or from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and you gave Me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave Me drink. I was a stranger, and you took Me in. Naked, and you clothed Me. I was sick, and you visited Me. I was in prison, and you came unto Me. Think about all those things He just said. This is what you have done. Look at all the great things you've done. Then shall the righteous answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we Thee a hungered and fed Thee, or thirsty and gave Thee drink? When saw we Thee a stranger and took Thee in, or naked and clothed Thee? Or when saw we Thee sick or in prison and came unto Thee? And the King shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these My brethren, ye have done it unto Me. Now you consider what He says here, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory. We're looking at a scene of the judgment. Then shall He also say unto them on the left hand, depart from Me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was a hungered, and you gave Me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave Me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took Me not in. Naked, and you clothed Me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited Me not. Then shall they also answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we Thee a hungered, or a thirst, or stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister to Thee? Then shall He answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to Me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. When we stand before the judgment, will we be surprised at what sentence is handed down? Will we be shocked that the sentence is handed down to us saying, depart from Me, you workers of iniquity? What? Not Me. Who are you talking to? You look behind you thinking that He's talking to the person behind you? I had a guy this week, one of my co-workers said, he was telling one of his friend said, yeah, we're sure getting old. He said, yeah. He said, just the other day a guy came up to me and said, see that old man over there? And he said, and I turned around and looked behind me and realized they were talking about me. I think that many times that's what we do with the Bible verses. We look at these verses and Jesus is saying, this is what you need to do. And we turn around and say, He's talking to you? I did a sermon one time and I talked about how husbands and wives react. And when I made a statement, I saw all the wives look at their husbands, elbowing. And the husbands were like, thanks a lot. Do we always think it's somebody else? Do we look for the person? We talk about a Bible class attendance or worship attendance. Do we think about, well, I know who He's talking about. He's talking about me. I'm here today. I haven't been here in 6 months, but I'm here today. So He can't be talking about me. Not me, because in people's minds they are strong, faithful servants of Christ. However, they have never really stopped to consider that their faith is based on what the preacher or pastor has told them and not what the Bible actually teaches. There are a lot of people like that. They base their faith on what someone has told them and not what the Bible actually teaches. I ain't got time to read all that. I don't have time to read all that. Go to the back of the book and let's see what the book is all about. The Bible doesn't work that way. These people in this passage weren't expecting to hear what they heard either. They say, hey, when did we see you? When? Many today would rather just find the verses that seem to support the doctrines that they like. Right now, we're in the middle of a pandemic. I've mentioned it before. Everything that we know about the coronavirus, we get from the media, who we have to assume is telling us the truth. Very difficult to assume that because we get different ideas and different stories and different versions, completely opposite of one another, from one report to the next. How can we know what's going on? It's very difficult to understand. It's very difficult to say, I get this. Yeah, this is what that's why we're so divided. Some people say, oh, this is what you absolutely have to do. I was like, you're nuts. Oh, you're an extremist. No, you're the extremist. Why? Because the information we get comes from an unreliable source. Fortunately for us, we don't have to listen to a bunch of people's opinions and then guess which one best suits us or which one sounds more like the truth when it comes to the Bible. Because no matter what people tell you that Jesus taught and Jesus expects, we've been given the Bible so that we can verify the truth. You verify it right there. This is what it is. Verify it. God said, verify it. Jesus said, verify it. The apostles, verify it. It's right there. It's written in black and white. We have it clear. It's written and it can't change. And some people have changed it. They've made their own versions or perversions of the Bible, their own translations that say whatever they want them to say instead of what the original language says. John chapter 8 and verse 32 tells us, Jesus himself says in John chapter 8 verse 32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Jesus said we can know the truth, and that alone will set us free from all controversy. There's no more argument. The truth shall make you free. You know what they said to him when he made this statement? Look at verse 33 of that same passage. They answered him, "We be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin." Did you catch that? They said, "We were never in bondage to any man." Who's he talking to there? He's talking to the Jews. "We were never in bondage to any man." I guess they forgot about the time they spent in Egyptian bondage. The Jewish nation was over there for 430 years. Big part of that, they were under slavery. They were under bondage. Apparently they forgot about that. It got so bad that they had to cry out to God and beg for mercy. "You were never in bondage." Exodus chapter 2 and verse 24. Exodus chapter 2 and verse 24, it says, "And God heard their groaning, and God remembered His covenant with Abraham and with Isaac and Jacob." Here in this passage, we see Jesus is telling them, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They said, "We're not in bondage to anyone. We're the seed of Abraham." Well, the seed of Abraham became slaves over in Egypt, and they cried to God, "God, help us. They're killing us here." And God remembered that promise to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Despite the fact that they really had been in bondage to the Egyptians, Jesus is telling them that they are essentially still in bondage, but not to people. They're in bondage to the sin that they commit. You're slaves to your own sin. You ever hear of somebody that has an addiction? Tried to quit 1,000 times and I can't. You're a slave to it. You're a slave to it. And the sooner you realize that, the sooner you'll be able to break the bondage from it. Same goes for sin. Are we slaves to sin? Like the people he's talking to here? Look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 7. Listen to what it says. Galatians 5 verse 7 says, "You did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth?" We can know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now look at Romans chapter 2 verses 7 through 10. We're going to put all these together. Romans chapter 2 verses 7 through 10. "To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish, upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also to the Gentile, for there is no respecter of persons with God." Now keep these passages in mind and look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. It says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them that believe and know the truth." And we go back over these passages briefly. John 8:32 says, "Ye shall know the truth." Galatians 5:7 tells us that we can obey the truth. Romans 2 verse 8 also verifies that we can obey the truth if we choose. And 1 Timothy not only teaches that we can obey the truth, but also that we can believe and know the truth and that we can depart from that truth. You can know the truth and the truth can set you free, but you can also depart from the truth. God gave us the ability to make decisions on our own. It's called free will. We have our own free will. We have the will to desire to follow Him or to reject Him. It's our own choice. If we really want to stand justified before the judgment of God, don't you think it would be important to know the whole counsel of God? And not just some passage that fits our agenda? Isaiah chapter 38, verse 1 and 2. Let's look at Isaiah 38, verses 1 and 2. Isaiah 38, verse 1 and 2. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Then Hezekiah turned his face toward the wall, and he prayed unto the Lord. You look at this. The prophet came to Hezekiah and told him, God says you're going to die. You're going to die. Hezekiah didn't want that. He turns to the wall and he prays fervently to the Lord. And it said, the Lord heard Hezekiah's prayer and he added 15 years to his life. If you think about what was going on 15 years ago, that wasn't very long ago, unless you're 15. But if you think about what was going on 15 years ago, for most adults, 15 years ago wasn't that long ago. That was just a short time ago. Now, let me ask you this. Let me give you a scenario. What if you went to sleep tonight? Somewhere along the middle of the night, you were awakened by a man's voice. You sit up and you say, Who's there? And the voice replies, Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid. Immediately you know it is Jesus. But why is He there? Is it your time to go? Is He going to take me to heaven? Why didn't I just wake up in heaven or hell, God forbid? He's not there to take you, but to warn you. I know God is no respecter of persons, so just bear with me for illustration purposes. Since you weren't whisked away to the hereafter, you ask the question, Lord, why are you here? And He says, because the time for your departure is near, but you haven't been living right. If you go now, you will not go to heaven. Will you, like the Jews, argue with Jesus? Will you say, I've been living right? I read my Bible several times a week. I go to church every Sunday. I don't steal. I don't do bad things to people. How can you say that I'm not living right? Would you argue with the Lord? The Jews thought they were God's chosen people and they argued with Jesus. We're in bondage to no one. Or will you humble yourself before the mighty hand of God? He says one more thing. Not only have you not obeyed the gospel, but you haven't been living the gospel, and you've ignored literally everything the Bible says about the church. Next thing you know, you're waking up. This time it's morning and He's no longer there. And you think to yourself, was it a dream? But it was too real to be a dream. You're sure that it wasn't a dream at this point. You're absolutely positive that the Lord visited you in the night and told you the time of your departure is at hand. What is your next move? What is your next move? What is your choice? You're sure you're going to die. Will it be today? Will it be next week? He's obviously given you a chance to get it right, but how long do you have? And does it really matter? If you really were told by Jesus to get your things in order because you're going to die, you would spend every waking minute to make sure that you did everything according to His word, because He's already told you you're not. Well, I thought I was doing right. Did we not serve you, Lord? Did we not do great deeds in your name? Have we not cast out devils in your name? No, you haven't. You haven't done anything right. You need to get it right. Perhaps it is that you've done everything you could to follow the commands of Christ to the best of your ability. Maybe it is that you just think you have. Remember the rich young ruler of Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 22. Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 22. It says, And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He saith unto him, Which? And Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You remember they're under the law of Moses at this time when this is being said. So he gives him this law. The young man saith unto him, All of these things have I done from my youth up. I've been keeping these commandments since I was a little kid. What do I lack yet? What else do I need to do? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect or complete, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. The young man had it together, and he knew it, but he was lacking something, and though he asked the question, what must I do to have eternal life? He thought he was going to get this great pat on the back. You don't need to do nothing, you're doing great. You're doing great, because he had it in his mind, he had it all together. Apparently, that eternal life wasn't worth giving up the things that he cherished the most. He told him what he needed to do to inherit eternal life, but he wasn't willing to do those things. How many people aren't willing to look and to see what the Bible says? Yeah, I see it says that, but I just can't believe that. Yeah, I admit that. Yeah, I understand that, but that's not what I've been taught my whole life. I understand. Yeah, I'm not willing to make that change. If you cherish the things of this world, or if you cherish the friends and acquaintances or even family more than God, then there's a problem. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37. Jesus very plainly says here, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Some people look at that passage and they say, Jesus is harsh. If you don't love your father and mother more than him, that's harsh. How can I accept that? What he's saying here is the people that are willing to follow after the false ways of family members and friends rather than follow after Christ is not worthy of Christ. You're not worthy of me if you're not willing to follow after me. That's what he's saying there. If you cherish the things of the world, you're clinging to the wrong things. If you haven't forsaken all for Christ, perhaps it's time to do some self-examination. Luke chapter 14 and verse 26. Luke chapter 14 and verse 26. Jesus said, if any man come unto me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. There's a key point of that passage right there, and you might have missed it. It says, and his own life also. For the rich young man, it was his wealth that he did not want to let go of. For many today, it is self. They want to self-indulge. I like playing golf on Sunday. I like fishing on Sunday. I like my Sundays. When in fact, Sunday was given to be a day committed to the Lord. God gave you six other days. Just one for Him. And people reject it. How many people have rejected God by going around His commands and only obeying the ones that they like or the ones that suit their desires or the ones that suit their doctrines? And then they'll stand before the judgment and say, When did I not obey You, Lord? Scary, scary thought. But there are some things that the Bible plainly teaches, one of which is a plan. God laid out a plan for salvation for the lost of this world. The plan includes hearing the Word of God. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We must believe what we hear. Hebrews 11:6 tells us, without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. We also must repent. Luke 13 verse 3 says, I tell you nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Acts 17:30 says, in the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Verse 31 says, because He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, and that He hath raised him from the dead. We must confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Matthew chapter 10 verse 32 and 33. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. We must put Christ on in baptism. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Matthew 24:13 finally tells us that we must remain faithful unto death. He that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. If you have any need, if you have not obeyed the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the time to come is now, while together we stand and sing the song that's been selected.